Started. All right, Coors. Thank you all for being here today. I'm going to avoid starting by sitting down and standing up and ask if you would all stand as Commissioner Metter is going to open our court with the invocation, if you would please, sir.
Dear Lord, we're so thankful today, for the blessings that you give us every day. We're thankful to Dr. Jesus for bringing our judge back to us. And
Thank you.
For the healing process that you've done with him and his family. We hope his recovery is speedy and good. Mm. Lord, please be with this court this morning, that our decisions made are pleasing to you. Mm. Please be with our first responders, our military, and bring them home safely to their families.
Amen. Also, in my absence, Commissioner, I watched from the hospital, and you take control of the court last round. Just outstanding, a consummate professional. I appreciate it very much.
I want to say, I think the longest court we had was 40 minutes. Just saying.
Yeah.
I told the judge they never gave me a gavel, so I had to use my knife. Nope, going up.
Well, you can use this gavel anytime you need to. So start with our pledges. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. All right, let the record reflect that Commissioner Nowak is here. All others are is not here. All others are present. I believe he's on his way. Do we have a motion after roll call here to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda?
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Are there any citizens with us today who would like to make a comment for this morning? All right. If there are none, then we're going to move forward with our proclamations and resolutions and presentations. Shannon Jackson, presentation of Employee of the Month. Good morning.
Okay. I'm presenting October Employee of the Month. Okay. If I could have Mr. Legan come up here.
Morning, Judge. It's great to see you up and around.
Thank you, sir.
Judge, we had an opportunity to nominate a young lady from our office, but I wanted to say the lowest hanging fruit, we could always nominate the custodial staff. We could always nominate maintenance. What they've done at the district attorney's at the building over there, the fresh paint and everything, it's phenomenal. The way that the custodial maintenance keeps Montgomery County running, I think probably deserves an award in perpetuity. So it's just much easier to individually recognize a person from our office and just constantly say, hey, maintenance is doing a great job. Every time we get a chance, I do like to highlight those ladies and gentlemen with maintenance and with custodial, because they're doing an awesome job.
Super.
So the lady that I'm going to bring up to do the introduction, Shanna Redwine, is the division chief over our special crimes division. As you know, and you've had opportunity to interact with her, she does Children's Safe Harbor. I know that's close to your heart, Commissioner Metter. I was going to say Dr. Metter. That was such a great prayer a little while ago. Thank you. Shanna is the division chief over special crimes, Children's Safe Harbor, but she also interacts with our internet crimes against children. And it's in that role that she has an employee that's been a phenomenal employee. And just by way of recognizing Shanna Redwine, who's been with our office since she was an intern, is doing an amazing job, I thought I'd introduce Shanna and then have Shanna come up and introduce our employee
Super.
Of the month.
Thank you.
Judge, thank you for
appreciate
your
appreciate the explanation.
And
excellent.
I'm mindful of the 40 minutes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Judges, it's great to see you up and around.
Thank you.
It is my great honor today to introduce you all to our October Employee of the Month, Elda Rupert. Elda, will you come up? And I have a few notes today just because if I don't have notes about Elda, I will miss something. It's hard to put into words the value that she brings to our team at Children's Safe Harbor and to our office over at the DA's office. Elda Rupert is a victim coordinator employed by the District Attorney's Office. She is assigned to Children's Safe Harbor, which is our local children's advocacy center. Elda's job assignment includes assisting prosecutors, detectives, CPS investigators, and other multidisciplinary team members in the investigation and prosecution of cases involving child sexual abuse, severe child physical abuse, and all of our child fatality cases that come through the District Attorney's Office. If you would for me, imagine the worst kind of child abuse that you can possibly imagine, and Elda's entire caseload is that. Specifically, Elda is a direct point of contact for victims and their families as their cases make their way through the criminal justice system. On top of that, Elda, being who she is, also volunteers to be the main administrative support for prosecutors and for investigators and for detectives who are housed at Safe Harbor working on these types of cases. That is no easy task, and that is not something that's in Elda's job description. If you read her PDQ, she's a victim assistance coordinator and a phenomenal one. But Elda, seeing that there was a need and knowing that we don't have infinite resources, said, "What else can I do to help?" And every day she does just that. Judge and Commissioners, child abuse happens everywhere and all the time, even here in our great county. When everything works like it's supposed to, someone finds out that a child is being hurt, someone puts a stop to it, someone reports it, and then someone seeks justice on behalf of that child. Sadly, and more often than not, even in normal times, children endure child abuse with nobody ever knowing, with no safe adults ever coming forward and bringing that abuse to light. And we're not living in normal times. During the COVID-19 pandemic, children are further isolated. They're further removed from resources and from safe adults who are willing to help them. And now, in this difficult time that we're all experiencing, Elda, as she always does, has stood in the gap for victims of child abuse. In times of tragedy, we often hear the mantra, look for the helpers. I tell my own children that when they're struggling to understand hard things and difficult circumstances. And we are all called to not only look for the helpers, but to be that helper for children who are suffering through the worst kind of abuse that we can imagine. And today, if you'll allow, I would like to take a few moments to tell you about the type of helper that abused children in our county find when they meet Elda. They find a helper who is steadfast. Elda is the most tenured person assigned to Children's Safe Harbor, not only with the District Attorney's Office, but with all participating agencies. She has been assigned to that assignment longer than any of us. And as detectives and prosecutors and investigators rotate in and out of that position, as we all do, she is there to provide support and encouragement. She is truly the keeper of the culture at Children's Safe Harbor. Children who are abused in our county, when they meet Elda, they find a helper with a servant's heart. One of Elda's co-workers had this to say about her. On top of Elda's already full-time role as a victim advocate, in which she is fully employed, she also takes on numerous responsibilities in the office, such as the upkeep of case lists, assigning detectives, assisting detectives, scanning evidence, scheduling meetings, and so much more. She does all of these things in addition to taking care of her own family. Elda is just the type of person who would do anything asked of her in order to help those in need and in order to see that justice is done for children. She often goes above and beyond without ever thinking twice and without any expectation of anything in return. Commissioners, when children who are abused in Montgomery County meet Elda, they find a helper who is undeterred by obstacles. Just this year, Elda helped a family on a case that we were handling who desperately needed resources so that they could have a funeral and a burial service for an infant that had passed away. Elda was able to successfully find and coordinate resources so that that family, who was going through the worst thing that you can imagine, could properly honor their loved one. It's just all in a day's work for Elda Rupert. When children in our county meet ILDA, they find a helper who is fully invested in them. A prosecutor who works child abuse cases with ILDA said this: "She knows my cases just as well as I do. I trust her completely. I rely on her. We work side by side." You need to stop. "It is an honor just to work with her." That's what one of our child abuse prosecutors said about ILDA. And finally, when children who are abused in our county meet ILDA, they find a helper who is generous with her time and with her heart. And one very recent evening, ILDA got a call from her husband, Enrique Rupert, who's in the back. He is a mental health, you've all met him at the previous court. He was receiving an award himself. He's a mental health deputy with Precinct 1. In that case, a driver was arrested for driving while intoxicated. There were 5 young children in the car with that driver. As care for these children were being arranged, they were at Precinct 1. They were working to get arrangements and find out where these kiddos were going to go for the night. ILDA, knowing that she had access to resources that could help officers and help these children, she went into response mode. Not only did ILDA deliver toys and clothes and snacks and comfort items and diapers, much out of her own pocket, she stopped at the store on the way. She responded, and she held babies until Child Protective Services could respond. She made those children's lives just a little bit better and a little bit safer that night. Commissioners, this was at 9 p.m. on a Wednesday on a case that was not ever assigned to ILDA. She just did what was right. You know, some people show up and they do their job. Some even do it very, very well. But ILDA Rupert excels day in and day out, and children in our county are better for the work that she does. Each of us has a job to stand up and help when child abuse comes to light. We are all called to be the helpers, whether through our time, our platform, our influence, our resources, our prayers. And I would advise anybody that's listening today that if they want a good place to start learning how to be that helper for a child who so desperately needs it, to follow the example set by our October Employee of the Month, ILDA Rupert. ILDA, I cannot thank you enough for your tireless service to children in our county. I'm thankful to work with you. Congratulations.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I don't know how you do what you do. I don't know how you separate yourself from it, but God bless you.
Yes,
absolutely.
And if anybody is watching out there, you can't have her. She belongs to Montgomery County. Everybody's going up there. Brett, come on, man. You might as well just get up there and get in the picture. Yeah.
By the way, I think that's the best presentation I've ever heard.
Absolutely.
Great job.
Yes, it was. Very good job.
Thank you again. All right. So we move forward. Proclamation of National Friends of Libraries Week in Montgomery County. Geraldine.
Good morning and welcome back. We're glad to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
This is a proclamation for National Friends of Libraries Week, whereas efforts of Friends of the Library groups nationwide reinforce that libraries are the cornerstones of their communities, providing opportunities for all who use them to engage in lifelong learning and to connect with the thoughts and ideas of others from ages past to the present. And whereas Friends of the Library groups throughout Montgomery County raise funds which enable our libraries to move from good to great supplementing the resources for materials and providing educational programming, much-needed equipment, support for children's summer reading, and special events throughout the year. And whereas the work of the Friends highlights our library system as an essential element in the quality of life of county residents, and whereas the Friends understand the critical importance of well-funded libraries, they advocate to ensure that our library system has appropriate resources to provide a wide variety of services to all ages, including access to print and electronic materials, as well as expert assistance in research, reader's advisory, and children's services. And whereas the Friends' gift of their time and commitment to the library sets an example for all in how volunteerism leads to positive civic engagement and the betterment of our community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Commissioners Court of Montgomery County proclaims October 18 to 24, 2020, Friends of Libraries Week in Montgomery County, and urges everyone to join the Friends of the Library group supporting their local library branch, and to thank them for all they do to make our library and our community so much better.
Thank you. Have a motion.
Move.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Chairlain, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you reading that proclamation for us. All right. As we move forward, do I have a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court minutes, both A and B?
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. As we approach the consent agenda, are there any modifications to the consent agenda?
I move on the consent agenda as presented.
All right. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Let's move to our open agenda. And that would be on page, for those of you who have an outline, page 10 of 12. All right. County Judge, this is our to consider and discuss approve our resolution. We've done this every 30 days. Renewing extended declaration of local disaster issued for public health emergency for a period of 30 days to expire on November. We will do this two more times on November 7th and December 7th, which would put us through the 30th. Do we have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Risk management. Let the record reflect that Commissioner Nowak is with us. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you. How are you, Judge?
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
Items 12A, consider and approve Amendment 4 to the cafeteria plan document for flexible spending accounts and further authorize Virginia Little, Director of Risk Management, to complete any required formalities related thereto on behalf of Montgomery County. This will give us a rollover on our flex plan, increase from $500 to $550.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries.
Well, B, consider and approve revised TAC memorandum and associated attachments related to Montgomery County participation in the 2021 TAC Choice Silver Retiree and Medical Program, Package 1, to replace the documents that previously approved on September 8, 2020. The document that was provided was not the updated one from TAC, so we wanted to replace that and bring that forward for you. Please authorize the Director or Assistant Director of Risk Management to execute all necessary documents on behalf of Montgomery County. The county does not contribute to this program, so this is a contract that's negotiated through TAC.
All right. I have a motion to accept.
Move.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item C.
Item C, consider and approve the full-time employee benefits annual enrollment re-enrollment package for 2021.
All right. So we have a motion.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ginger, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Emergency management, Jason Millsaps.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
First, I've got a couple items under this agenda item. The first is the ongoing expenses at OEM. Every month or so, we've come back and asked for additional spending or additional funding so we could meet the demands of the county. Again, today, I'm asking for another $250,000 so we can continue to purchase the PPE and necessary supplies to address county needs.
This is out of CARES funds?
This is correct, out of CRF.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
The second item is a request from custodial. They have a outdated, almost expired box truck that has reached its end of its life cycle, and they are running all over the county delivering supplies. We've got OEMs purchased several items for them to go into our facilities to sanitize, deep cleaning, and machinery, and they're just running out of space with their box truck at the end of its life cycle. We believe the CARES committee believes that we could get them a box truck replaced with CRF funds due to the current use of that and the continued use of that truck going forward until this pandemic's over with. The cost of that truck is $79,940. And if you'd like, we request authorization to purchase with a not to exceed $80,500.
I move.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries. I'm sorry?
Opposed.
Okay. We have one opposition, Commissioner Nowak. All right. There's one more.
The last item is a request from the district clerk, Melissa Miller, in order to help assist meeting the demands of remote access to files and things for her office, for the constituents of the county, and lawyers and defendants getting access to records. She has worked with CoFile to get a quote to digitize a large chunk of her records to make that easy and accessible online, so we won't have the general public coming up to the office and waiting around and going through boxes and boxes of files. Fort Bend County has done this. They're a direct recipient of CARES funds. A number of smaller counties have done this with state access funds that they receive from CARES funds. The amount is not to exceed $990,000, and they can start work on that immediately.
So. And what this does is explain exactly what you're talking about, and why do we want to do this?
Melissa's here. She's better equipped answering
okay.
those questions
okay,
since it's
yeah.
her stuff. I'll step aside.
Good morning.
Morning.
We have a number of record sets that are still in paper format, and we've been working on digitizing them. This will help us assist do that faster, and they'll be available online for the citizens to review in a much quicker manner than we can do in-house personally.
Well, all the employees that we still have working out of the house, does this affect them at all to help them to be able to get to documents and records at all, or is this just general public? Both.
Both attorneys, court staff, general public. We have a lot of people that come in and do research for genealogy, and a lot of people coming in to do older research for different things for their families. So they're using this time now to come into the office. Hmm. So we've had an influx of people coming in to do research, and this will assist them
Excellent.
To do that from home.
So this is to keep the public from coming to your office?
Having to come into our office. They can do it online.
Will this be an extra machine?
No, CoFile will take the files. They will scan them in, and they will prepare a data file, and we will get that file back. IT will upload it to an FPT site, and then Tyler will then upload it into our case management system.
But you don't have equipment to do that right now?
We have scanners in our office, but for our people to do it, it will take a long time. I mean, this is a program that we've been working on forever, so it would take us 20 years to scan all of this stuff in, where it'll take them a short period of time.
What does this equipment do? I mean,
it's not equipment. We're not purchasing equipment. We're sending the files to CoFile, and they will take care of all the scanning.
Oh, okay. So it's an outsource.
Yes, and we currently work with CoFile on all of our older cases that are deemed historical. So they're very familiar with our record sets. And
you were able to use CARES funds to do this?
Yeah, well, the committee reviewed this, and based on a number of counties using CARES funds for this, we feel this is an appropriate use of the funds.
Is this a one-time expenditure, or is this an ongoing
So it would be not to exceed $990,000. It would be one time, and CoFile would have this work started immediately. So.
How many documents are we talking about? Do we know?
The quote that I got from CoFile in front of me is for a little over 2 million pages.
How soon do you think they can have this done? Anybody know?
As soon as we get the approval, they'll come and pick it up, and within a month or two, have it completed.
$990,000?
$2 a page.
Or they do charge.
Some of the record sets that they're...
50 cents a page.
Yeah, and some of the record sets they're touching are still trifold, so they have to be unfolded, they have to be flattened, and then they can run them through their machine, and they also correct the image and make sure that it is readable to the viewer.
When y'all started doing this on your own, how many did y'all have then, and how many have y'all done? You got any idea? How long y'all been doing it?
Prior administration's been working on it too, so 20 years.
We've been trying to do this for 20 years?
Yes, it's... And this, what CoFile has quoted us, isn't even our entire record set. This will take care of what we have left in the Keyshan building, and it's the oldest record set that we have that hasn't been scanned or preserved. And then we'll take care of what's up here in the attic.
Okay.
So what we're doing, we're qualifying this for CARES money,
yeah,
is to keep people that may have the virus from coming in and doing hands-on research.
Reduce the number of people that are coming into our office for things that could be accessible online.
Yeah, one of the charges with the CARES funds from the federal government was to assist individuals as well as employees of the county from remote working, being able to not have to come in and physically touch or get in front of someone to do their job. And we have countless constituents that come to the courthouse every day for research, record pulls. A large number of stuff, like Melissa said, has already been digitized, and it's the newer stuff is digitized as it comes into our office, and it's very accessible for the public. It's very easy.
Jason, don't we have or Melissa, isn't there some sort of a fee, a document preservation fee and fund that we already have in place that pays for this exact thing?
Yes, our records management fund.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about in just a course of 10 minutes, we're going to blow through another $319,000 of CARES Act money because we have access to it. I just don't think that it's a good use of funds. This is a program that's ongoing, something we're already doing.
$990,000.
I'm adding to that the $250,000 for the Jason asked for and the $79,000 for the truck. I don't think buying a truck with the COVID funds is a good use of the dollars either. And BD, do you have anything to opine on?
I just want to clarify, we haven't been asked our opinion as to whether it would qualify for CARES Act funds.
And isn't there an attorney on the CARES Act committee, or there was at one point?
Amy was in the meeting when this was discussed.
Also, being on the CARES Act committee, I want to make sure that it's not every member was okay with this, so just wanted to make sure I threw that out there. There was not a consensus on this particular item and a couple, other ones that we've had in the past. So just wanted to throw that out there that there was not consensus on this particular item.
Are there other departments that can use this or not?
No, it's an outsource.
No, it's an outsource. It's a contract supplementing is it a current contract I think you have? It supplements their current contract. To be digitizing
so
already.
I believe you were asking, would departments benefit from this?
Yeah, can other departments do the same thing under this 900 grand?
Oh, can other departments use this money too?
Well,
this quote is for our record set.
That's just for your record.
I have a couple other departments that are currently in the process of getting quotes for
they want to
similar,
do the same
similar
thing.
Stuff, yes. So, much smaller numbers because they have smaller records, but... But yes, there are other departments that are currently actively seeking quotes for that stuff.
So from that point, I'm kind of torn on this, Melissa. I don't know if it's not been approved. That'd be $1 million if it doesn't work. Maybe we should wait and see if Federal Treasury approves this, and then move on it then.
I agree, Commissioner.
Who else is going to want to try to do this? Maybe that's the way we need to wait for...
Currently, I have an outstanding request for a quote from the Treasurer's Office.
Okay.
That's it. That's the only other thing I have to get my records.
Here is one thing to remember, though. The whole issue about the Treasurer's Office... is we've addressed issues with the Treasurer's Office, and they'll say, oh, yeah, we're in favor of that. Would you give us a document verifying that? Well, no, we really can't do that. So 5, 10, 6, 8, 7 years, who knows what the potential
You're
for the
You're talking about the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah. I'm talking about federal.
Another thing, though, is...
As it relates to CARES. Sorry.
You really slowed down your service, Melanie.
One of the things that I looked into when Melissa brought this request to us was Fort Bend County is a direct recipient of CARES funds, similar to Montgomery County. They utilize these funds with this vendor for the exact same thing. When I found out other counties that are not direct recipients went to the state with the request from state CARES funds to do this program and was rewarded state funds to do this program, it tells me this is an approved expense under the CARES fund, and it would be covered.
I will tell you, as you have given me the tour, and we have gone through your documents, and it's mind-boggling the amount of time and effort associated with it. When you have something that, as we move forward, in my judgment, is a legitimate CARES expense, as opposed to having to come back a year from now, 2 years from now, redo this. But it does qualify for that in terms of making access to the public. I personally am in favor of it. I would vote in favor of it.
My concern is, again, it's the rule of the court.
What about your hard copies, the hard copy that you have now, all those boxes of files and all? If this was approved, that'll be a digital record. Are you still required by law to retain those other
only
records?
Certain documents within that file would be permanent. So the judgment, the docket sheet, that's literally all we would save from the file. The rest would be destroyed per our records retention schedule on file with the state library. So it would reduce the amount of space we're using as well.
You know, if we're pretty sure, I mean. But BD said this has not been approved.
The committee approved this. There was opposition in it.
State money or federal money?
This is for CARES funds.
Huh?
This is for CARES funds with federal funds.
Well,
our office hadn't issued an opinion. Right. If Amy was in the, I do believe Amy was in the meeting without disclosing attorney-client, I don't think she was in favor of necessarily presenting it at this time, given the facts that were present at that meeting. If y'all want to move to executive session, I can give you an opinion.
We defer it.
Let's make a suggestion.
I see the value. Believe me, I do, because I know what you have. But creating a liability, I think, is an issue that I have. And if we can get assurance that it's covered, and I'd vote for it.
My concern is who else is... If we take these one at a time, can we take the group, whoever else wants to do this, if it's the engineer's office...
It'd be more money.
Well, maybe you get a group package. It may not be more money.
Very possible.
Who knows? I don't know that. Nobody knows that.
As you think about to be able to do that, Commissioner, just a thought, is that this is about avoiding people coming in. So it would be those departments that have a continual flow of people, which is, from the coronavirus perspective, has to do with the spread. Yeah. So that's really what I think at the end of the day, what this is all about, and why the CARES fund.
One of the last things that we talked about in the committee about this was Rakesh and his team were going to reach out to the other peer counties that have moved forward with this. Rakesh has just indicated he has not yet been able to do that. So it'd probably be a good idea to defer for 2 weeks.
Let's do that then.
We'll defer
it. Defer it.
Continue with the information.
It would be better.
I agree.
I move we defer.
Y'all good with deferring?
I agree with that. We can hear from BD as well.
I was going to say with a caveat that if it ever gets disapproved, then it's the county's fund balance.
We don't want to do that.
Don't even use that word in here anymore.
Yeah. We don't want to do that. So we'll bring it back after Rakesh and the team has had a chance to reach out to the other peer counties to find out exactly what they did and how they did it.
That's easy.
Thank you.
A couple weeks. Melissa, thank you.
I know what you got.
Get some more
if we can get
comfort level there.
A little further down, I'll definitely vote for it. So thank you.
It'll be back in 2 weeks. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jason and Melissa. BD.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. And
good morning.
I'll echo the sentiments, Judge. It's very good to have you back.
Thank you.
See
good
you
to be here.
Doing well. Item 14A, consider and take appropriate actions on guidelines and criteria for tax abatement for Montgomery County, Texas, pursuant to the Tax Abatement Act. This is something we do every 2 years because our guidelines and policies are only effective for 2 years pursuant to the provisions of the Act. We made a substantial revision in 2016 and a lot of revisions in 2018. I believe the backup that was on this is some minor corrections. The main thing we did with any revisions here or proposed revisions is to clarify what we found is that other taxing jurisdictions, you know, notably City of Conroe, they approach them. They send them our guidelines, they send their guidelines, but they have the first contact oftentimes with them. And so some of the people who receive our guidelines get confused and think the City of Conroe is speaking to us. So we clarified that in the guidelines. That's the primary thing we did. Added a few things to let them know about the effect of recapture and what would be required in recapture, because that seemed to be a sticking point in some of these agreements or something that they didn't realize. So we've tried to be more upfront and more disclosing more in the guidelines. The schedule we did not change unless there's some input from y'all you want to change. We changed that back in 2018. That was the substantial revision we did in 2018.
And BD, we can update this throughout the course of the next 2 years. Every change doesn't have to be made today, correct?
Correct. I mean, They're adopted once every 2 years. To amend them, it does take, I can't remember. To amend them, I think it takes four commissioners to amend them.
The reason why I ask is there's so much uncertainty as far as what's going to happen in the future in the economy. And in talking with at least the EDP and the Woodlands, you know, we want to make certain that our pencil is as sharp as it can be, and we believe that Montgomery County is well positioned to gain a lot of employers and a lot of new employees once this COVID situation kind of subsides.
Absolutely.
Things start to normalize, and so we want to make certain that we're
Jason, you
prepared.
Excuse me.
Oh, you
Yes, and if we need to revise, then we can revise and do whole new guidelines if necessary. It's not you have to do it every 2 years. They expire 2 years from the time they are adopted.
So essentially we've made just minor changes. This is the time of the expiration, and what we need to do is reapprove.
Correct.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, BD. Appreciate it. Excellent. And Tammy, thank you for being here and for helping with this as well. All right, we're going to momentarily recess Commissioner's Court to convene public hearing, precinct number 4.
I'll go ahead.
Did you want me to take that, Commissioner?
Go ahead, please.
On item 15A1, this is public hearing to consider and approve the partial revision of the remainder of lots 18, 19, 20, and 21 of Dogwood Forest Section 1. As recorded under the map records to be known as Aqua Super Express Car Wash 242 replat. The purpose of the replat is to combine lots into a single unrestricted reserve. We have not received any objections or concern prior to today, and this plat is ready for approval, and it's submitted by the county engineer under agenda item number 16A. Is there anyone here to comment on the replat?
All right. Thank you, BD. If there are no comments, then let's move on to our county engineer to consider and approve the final plat.
Judge, you need to reconvene court, please.
I'm sorry?
Need to end the public hearing and reconvene court.
I think I did. Didn't I do that?
I believe you just moved on, but I may be wrong.
Trust me. I have the potential to miss that right now. So I would like to reconvene court. We'll go on record that we have reconvened. County engineer, consider and approve the final plat of Aqua Super Express Car Wash 242. I have a motion to approve.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Commissioner Nowak.
Okay. We, many months ago, voted with Commissioner Metters, I think I, most all of us supported this, I think, was for Brown and Gay to jumpstart our major thoroughfare plan. And then COVID hit, and we all, you know, they weren't able to do some of the, a lot of the things that they needed to do. So before we can actually get started, Megan needs some direction from the court or some reason to be here and explain to us what's happening. So I asked her to be here to give us an update.
Welcome, right. Megan.
Yes,
thank you for coming today.
Thank you. Proceed. I need to kick this off. And so that gets us the what we need to be able to do to get going. So, and I promise my presentation is super short, so I'm going to try and stick to that 40 minutes mark today. Okay. So as Commissioner Nowak mentioned, you guys brought us on board to help update your thoroughfare plan. So if you recall, 4 years ago, you worked with HGAC, and you developed a plan for the county, a countywide plan that looked at where major thoroughfares need to be accounted for and addressed. Your county's growing, though, right? Things are changing, things are evolving, and with that, this plan needs to evolve, and that's what we're here to do today, is to help get that evolved for you. So we're going to go ahead and get started now that we formally have kicked off the project to y'all, and we're going to start getting some data collected. So we're going to look through planned projects, but one of the big things that we're going to do is we're going to hold our stakeholder meetings. And these are held by precinct with each of you and a core group of people that you want involved to have input into your specific precinct. With that information, we'll start taking a stab at revising things. We're also going to work with TxDOT and HGAC because this is not a vacuum activity. We're going to work with the 2040 projections, and we're going to take that information and make sure any changes we're making really benefit the county. It doesn't do us any good to put us into a bind in 10 years or in 5 years. With that, too, we're going to look through the timing of the alternatives, and we're going to separate them into short, mid, and long-term projects. That way you guys have something to work off of and a plan to work towards. So these stakeholder meetings, we're going to use them to present the goals and the objectives and more than anything, gather the input that we need. We'd like to start these meetings as soon as we can. I realize we're halfway through October, so realistically it'll probably be November, and we will ask for each of you to provide us your list and some dates that would maybe work for your precinct. We are working towards a project update meeting to be held here in Commissioner's Court at the end of January. It might roll into early February, depending on how well we get our stakeholder meetings underway with the holidays. And then once we have that project update meeting, we'll hold public meetings, because this doesn't work, again, in a vacuum. We want that public input to make sure that there's buy-in across the board. We will have two public meetings. Ideally, they'd be in person, but with the nature of COVID, we are prepared to move those virtual if we need to. We've had some success having a virtual public meeting with our Precinct 4 mobility study, and I think that went well, and so we could replicate that if we're unable to hold them in person. We plan on having the two public meetings held in Precinct 1 and 3. Now, that's primarily because of the two ongoing precinct studies for 4 and 2 having their own set of public meetings. So we will have the ability to capitalize on the meetings that are being held as part of Precinct 4 to address any thoroughfare updates that need to occur in that specific precinct. And then Commissioner Riley, we'll work with you and your team on the HGAC study that you're doing to try and capitalize on those public meetings as well. Now, all that being said, if you guys feel the need, we do have the ability to add more meetings, and we can address that on a case-by-case basis.
I think we need to add one to Precinct 2 with our HGA study. I think that'd be good to have those combined.
That's exactly what we were thinking and anticipating. They're too close together. They work too close hand-in-hand to isolate them. And that's what we're doing with Precinct 4 studies as well, as part of their mobility study, is capitalizing on that togetherness. All of this is working towards our final presentation that we're aiming to have done in summer 21, where we will bring forth the revised plan and ask Commissioner's Court to adopt it. And that would be your major thoroughfare update at that point. So what's next? I need each of you to provide me with your stakeholder groups, please. I'm looking for 10 to 15 people that you think will add value and have opinions that you need to incorporate into the changes specific to your precinct. I'm going to reach out to each of y'all staff to look for dates that would work for the meeting. You all should be there.
It's important to recognize that we want to have these. We could do them virtual if we need to. I'd love to have them in person if everyone's comfortable with that, but we are conscious of the era that we're in at the moment, so we will make whatever concessions we need to. We're going to start gathering that information that I talked about, that planned projects, and we're going to hit the ground running, and we're going to see what we can do to get this updated for you guys.
Well, I'm excited about you guys. I know Brown & Gay does a terrific job. You, as an engineering firm, you'll probably know more about mobility in Montgomery County than just about anyone. So,
thank you. We're excited to be a part of it.
I think this is huge. I'm especially like you have involved the stakeholders. You have involved the citizens in this. You've involved HGAC, TxDOT, all the necessary people for a comprehensive plan. I will not forget what even Commissioner Metter said when we talked about this originally, that we've been needing this just like this for a long time. And with the addition of what Commissioner O'Reilly has just said, this is excellent. And the timing, can we get this together by the summer of 21?
If I can get the cooperation from the court, I think so.
Ooh.
And that was not.
Well, we got a good
challenge.
Foundation to work off already. I mean, we're doing, and I know what Commissioner Metz is doing. There's a lot of information there already. So.
Absolutely, and that's exactly it. We're not rewriting the history here. We're not rebuilding. You know, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're taking what you've already got and we're modifying it to suit the needs of the county. So, with that, I am confident we can keep the schedule. I will need just to get our meetings going, and once we do that, we'll be ready to keep it moving. So.
All right. Is there any more discussion? Megan, thank you so much for coming and presenting this to us, and you'll be hearing back from us, I'm sure, shortly.
Pleasure. Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
Great job.
All right. At this time, executive session, the court is going to recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, subchapter D, articles 551.071. We shall be back shortly. Commissioners, we move forward. There are no actions to take that will take place in our executive session. I do want to move forward with our citizens. Are there any citizens who are here today who would like to make any final comments on any items in general? Or do we have any miscellaneous items that
need to
be mentioned?
I do want to make one comment. And
Commissioner?
I've just based on anecdotal evidence of how long the lines are at the polls right now. People need to go vote early, get out there, be prepared to wait in line. I mean, we had 250, 300, 400 people. The line at the South County Library South County Community Center went from the front door all the way down past the library, downtown Green Park, and all the way down Waterway.
You're kidding.
Probably 500 or 600 people.
Same way in East County.
So get out to vote, take your time. Enjoy the weather. It's going
to
be nice weather.
Come to Williston vote.
True. go to Williston vote. But
just
anyway.
Vote. No, great point. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Is there anything else we need to discuss in our miscellaneous? If not, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Second.
Yes.
All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much for being here today. We appreciate it.
All right.
You signed all these commissions?
I don't have to sign those. Those are the judges.
Those are the green.
Those are yours.